Everybody knows that everybody lies, whether it be with good intentions or not. Telling untruths, I reckon, is part of our behavioural DNA. What about you, though? Have you worked out an ethical framework around when you lie? If you have, I'd like to know about it. You can let us know on Facebook. Just look for RN Life Matters, and you can like us while you're there. Or you can text on 0418 226 576. Today we're asking, what's in a lie, and are well-meaning lies more harmful than we think? A recent study published in Organisational Behaviour and Human Decision Processes points to the dangers of what's called lying paternalistically. One of the study authors is Dr. Matthew Lepoli. He's an assistant professor of management at Deakin University. He's with us now. Matthew, I've got to ask straight away, what is a paternalistic lie?
Hey, Michael. Hey. So a paternalistic lie is a lie that is intended to benefit another person, but that requires the deceiver or the person who's lying to make assumptions about the best interests of the person they're lying to.
Right. So what's an example in everyday life?
So an example is, say you're giving feedback to a colleague on a presentation. They perform poorly, but you don't want to hurt their feelings, so you tell them that they did better than you actually thought. So you're doing this out of genuine concern for their emotional well-being, but in actuality, maybe what this person wants or what they need is some honest criticism in order to improve.
Well, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Because that then assumes that those people who use paternalistic lying are actually more compassionate, potentially, than people who don't do that.
It's actually funny that you mention that, because I have a separate paper showing that exact effect, that compassion makes people more likely to tell these lies that are intended to benefit others.
How did you test in some empirical way the impact of paternalistic lying on other people?
Yeah, so it's a little complicated, but just bear with me. So it's this economic game in which participants are paired with a partner. And so they receive a message from the partner about the outcome of a coin flip. Either the coin landed on heads or the coin landed on tails. Then we surprise them by revealing to them the information that was available to their partner. So specifically, we told them what the actual outcome of the coin flip was, and thus let them know whether or not they were lied to. We also revealed to them potential payoffs that they could receive depending on whether or not they were lied to. So for instance, in one study, if participants were told the truth, they would receive a lottery ticket to receive $10 today. Or if they were lied to, they would receive one ticket to receive $30 in 3 months. So there's a trade-off here.
I think it's delayed gratification, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's basically modeling the conditions under which paternalistic lies are told, because there's necessarily uncertainty about which outcome the participant is going to be most happy with.
Right.
And there's also an analog to, I guess, the example I just told you about lying to someone in an organization. You either lie to them to provide a short-term gain, or are honest to them to provide a longer-term gain.
So what happened?
So basically, after participants received the information, we asked them how they felt about the deceiver, the lie teller, and we found that those who received paternalistic lies rated the deceiver as less moral than those who told the truth. They reported less positive affect, more negative affect. They also even punished the deceiver, so they would take money away from them compared to those who told the truth. So in general, people hate being lied to in this manner.
So even though the deceiver might have had good intentions and tried to explain those intentions to the person who was lied to, that just didn't carry as much weight as they hoped.
Yeah, that's interesting. We actually looked at that. So the degree to which communication could mitigate the harmful effects of these lies, we found some mixed results. In the particular setup that I just told you about, this game, we had in one study, we had half of participants receive a message from their partner saying, I'm just trying to get you the outcome I thought you would want. And we found that this was actually ineffective at reducing punishment. We also have some other studies where we look at paternalistic lies in the context of realistic vignettes, where participants are asked to imagine that they've been lied to in this manner in some realistic context. There we see if communication of positive intentions can mitigate the harmful effects to some degree, but
not as much as the liar hoped. In most cases,
right? And I think it also depends on whether the liar is believed or not. So we find that these harmful effects of paternalistic lies are driven by beliefs that the deceiver is not actually benevolently motivated.
Ah, okay, and also, if the person being lied to sincerely believes in the liar in the first place, does that depth of deception also maybe affect their reaction?
I think we have evidence that if they truly believe that the deceiver was lying out of their best interests, this can reduce the harmful effects of paternalistic lies. But I think it also depends on the perceived benefits, right? So if the outcome of lying is something that you think makes you a lot worse overall, then that kind of overrides, I guess, the perceived intentions of the person who's doing the lying.
Listening into my conversation with Dr. Matthew Lopoli is my other guest, psychologist and writer, Meredith Fuller. Meredith, in general, do you think that if people understand that the lie in its paternalistic form was well-intentioned, that they'll sometimes give benefit of the doubt?
One of the problems is we need to feel trust. We don't want to be betrayed. We love transparent communication. If you have someone who you value who's making decisions about what they think you can cope with or not, it's shameful and humiliating. Far right. Better in that example that Matthew was giving would be to say, well, how do you think you went at that presentation? What were the areas that you thought your strengths were? What were your weaknesses?
So using that feedback model.
Absolutely.
Back on the recipient.
Absolutely. And then also, if you are going to lie, realize that for you, what is your moral compass and what is your integrity about what you're doing? Because often what will happen is, particularly with organizational situations, we need the truth. Now, the truth is variable according to perceptions, but one of the things that's useful for us is to say, what investment does that other person have in lying to me? What investment does that person have in telling the truth? Most of us appreciate that someone may tell us some hard stuff because they have our long-term future in mind and they really want to help us in the long term. And we'd much rather have the difficult truth than some platitude, because really we need to be able to trust in our society at the moment. But there are ways of telling truth that is supportive, nurturant and encouraging and doesn't destroy the person. And I think it's finding out techniques of communication, as Matthew said, how important it is that we communicate well with each other. You don't say when someone's walking down the aisle and they ask, do I look fabulous in this dress? This is not the time to say, no, you look like a pavlova. This is the time to say, you look fabulous, darling.
Right.
But you don't say that before they're purchasing the frock. If you think there's something that would be better, you say, great, how about looking at these options? It's about looking at harm minimisation and also looking at some sort of win-win for people.
Okay, this is interesting. You've raised a whole range of points there. So within your context, there are moments where maybe a paternalistic lie in the best interest of the person you're lying to is okay, but in, say, the workplace, it may not be, because it could be counterproductive. So between friends, it's okay to paternalistically lie if it protects the self-esteem of that person?
What you might do is look at a way of keeping everyone's integrity, because betrayal is far worse than supportive lies. A lot of issues in our practice are about, you have a friend, the partner is having an affair, you want to be truthful. You want to tell your friend. Well, who are you serving? Sometimes people like to tell the truth because they're really unburdening themselves. And some people like to tell a lie because they think it'll help the person. Far smarter to figure out a better response, like, it's not my position to tell my friend, but I will go to that friend's husband and I will say, this is a conversation I will be having down the track with my friend, or if she asks me, I will say X, you need to take responsibility for what you're going to do. So in other words, you find a better communication way of everyone living with integrity.
Matthew, just coming back to on your study involving $10 lottery tickets and $30 lottery tickets, when the paternalistic liar found out, maybe to their surprise or shock, that in fact their good intentions have been misread, did that make them reflect on what they might do in the future? Did you find that out?
So we didn't actually. So in our studies using this game, we looked at reactions to paternalistic lies from the perspective of the person receiving the yes. lie, rather than the deceiver.
Yeah.
But to go back to one point from earlier, so we actually do find that people respond positively to being lied to in some situations. So we find that people prefer being lied to when they agree that lying makes them better off. So in that game, when lying would result in the participants receiving two versus one lottery ticket for the same payoff. So either if you were lied to, you get two lottery tickets for $30 in 3 months versus if you're told the truth, you get one lottery ticket. Two lottery tickets is clearly better than one. So in these circumstances, people actually preferred being lied to.
So morality is flexible depending on, in this case, financial outcome.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate.
Oh, that's sad. I've got to say, in the digital age, where so much of what we consume online is untrustworthy or just plain fake, Meredith, as a psychologist, do you have people coming to you, clients, who are going, not only do I have to deal with face-to-face interactions that I'm not trusting, but also online interactions that are really making me question whether someone's a liar?
Absolutely. Often we like to present ourselves in faking good, so we'll present the best of ourselves. It's not a comprehensive picture. And we often have lies of omission in the digital area. And it's very difficult for people because one of the things that we need to understand is that lies of omission or faking good can actually be devastating and have terrible consequences for people. We've seen this a lot where prospective employers are actually trawling what people have on Facebook and realising that there's indiscretion, there's something that's a bit peculiar going on. So I think it's really important to be mindful of where information will go, how it might be misperceived, and to be very careful about what it is that we're presenting, because we've had dreadful situations where a lot of our clients have been so badly lied to that people have taken on personas or different scenarios, and they may have fallen in love online, they may have sent money for, you know, fake surgeries, they may pretend that they're living their avatar life and they're not really married with 10 children, and then the person finds out. So it's very tricky. But I think the other thing we need to understand is, in terms of intention, there are some people who find lying a sport. They just love to lie. Everything's a lie, so no one will believe anything they say. But it's very difficult when habitually someone's a truth teller, then they might tell a bit of a lie. Very hard to trust, and we find that in all sorts of friendship relationships.
I can think of some instances where paternalistic lying in particular, which is where we began this, as a parent, can be useful. Other times when it's not, when we talk to younger people. But we might have to leave other people to think about this in the meantime. It's been great to speak to both of you. My guest today, Dr. Matthew Lipoli.
Thank you.
And is Assistant Professor of Management at Deakin University, and psychologist and writer Meredith Fuller. Thank you very much as well.
Thanks, Michael.